AT&T Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Mike Ryan on today's news talk radio, TNT. TNT.
And welcome back to the Mike Ryan Show on TNT Radio. My name is Nicola Charles. You might know me better as the White Rabbit on socials and also the White Rabbit on Spotify. I think Kanye West owns Spotify, doesn't he? That's probably why I'm still on it, because I think Kanye and I are sort of on the same page. But I wanted to have a think about and ask you to have a think about something that struck me today, which is so unusual. Did anyone else notice that pre the midterm elections in the USA, we were literally on the brink of thermonuclear war? Or so we were told, right? Correct? We were told by our mainstream media globally that thanks to a missile that had been shot down by somebody, thermonuclear war was going to break out globally. Now, clearly, what is being done here is that insecurity, fear, threats of obliteration are being used to sway people to vote a certain way, believe certain things, because after the midterm elections, the threat of thermonuclear war just evaporated. And this is my fear with everything COVID that's been going on. This is my fear with everything to do with the Ukraine-Russia war. And this will be my fear after we've been worn down enough when it comes to the next pandemic, because we're told by people that like Bill Gates. And again, why is Bill Gates anything to do with public health? And why did Bill Gates come out at the beginning and tell us that his involvement with vaccines was because the world was overpopulated? How people listened to anything he said after that point, and I was really shocked that in the kind of TED talk that he did, where he had his light boxes and the graphs, and Bill Gates was obviously wheeled out. You know, there's rumors that he's actually a Rothschild. Who knows? He may as well be, for all intents and purposes. He was wheeled out as the friendly sales guy, the guy that brought us, you know, Microsoft. And he comes out and he sells really quite horrific information in a friendly way. So, you know, if we do a really good job on vaccines, we could lower the population by about 15%. At which time the room exploded with applause. Are these people stupid that are sitting in this room applauding a prophecy of genocide? It's really quite extraordinary to me. Now, you must remember, these are the same people that say stuff to us all the time that makes no sense. I'll give you a very small example. I think I mentioned it on Mike's show the other day, so I do apologize for repeating myself. But the same people that are telling us that the electricity we use in our homes for air conditioning is destroying the planet, and therefore we must be taxed, we must have carbon tax, we must have smart meters, and we must limit how much energy we use. These are the very same people who are trying to get rid of the internal combustion vehicle and have everyone drive electric EVs, EVs that are catching fire globally. Doesn't matter if it's a pizza delivery guy's bike, a car, a bus, a train. So the electricity for your EV, which, by the way, this is no small amount of electricity. These things need to constantly be charged. This electricity, we're told, this electricity is in no way damaging to the planet. It's quite extraordinary to me that a lot of people are still believing them. And what we're doing is we're being worn down with this stuff. Now, I understand why there is now a projected mental health crisis for young people in the UK. The National Health Service are saying that there's a real problem. Well, that's because we are universally being emotionally, mentally, and in some cases, unfortunately, physically abused. And it has to stop. Where are the people who are stepping forward? Are these politicians afraid? Are they being paid off? Are they compromised? We have to find out. You know, I have a friend, a very close friend, and he was a former serving Victorian police officer until last year. And he lost his, he's a weapons specialist. He lost a 37-year career because he refused to take the COVID-19 vaccine. And he said something very, very interesting to me yesterday. He said people shouldn't be called citizen journalists when they're conspiracy theorists. We shouldn't use the term citizen journalists. They are, in fact, citizen police officers. And this is a concept, and actually under common law is a real thing that we've forgotten about, because he believes we are citizen police officers. And the reason he says that is because being a police officer is having suspicion of someone's words or behaviors. So listen up, conspiracy theorists. Listen up, citizen journalists. You're actually a citizen police officer. Jeremy, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a good point there. I think we're in dangerous times when censorship, but we're looking at the idea that, you know, some citizen journalist is not a journalist unless there was some big corporation, a big 7, 9, 10, ABC, whatever, and if they're an independent journalist, oh, that they're not a journalist because they're telling some conspiracy theory. Well, hang on, who are the biggest conspiracy theorists out there? The ones in the mainstream media, they're the ones that are pushing the theories. You know, I think there's a difference between conspiracy theory and conspiracy fact, or just straight out conspiracy, full stop.
Absolutely. And, you know, when they have these press conferences, I noticed Dan Andrews, you know, as soon as you've crossed him and asked a real question, he never throws to you again in any subsequent press conference. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's very frightened of real journalism. I'm sure they have their journalists there who are going to ask scripted questions that they know they're expecting, and accountability at all.
There's this thing called the Dan Andrews freezer. Apparently he freezes you out. Once you're in the freezer, there's no getting out. It's locked and bolted.
Yeah, well, it's pretty sad state of affairs in Victoria. Actually, I'm in Melbourne too, Nicola. So we've had to endure this Danistan, let's call it that.
And cold as well. As well as living under a dictator, it's really, really cold. It really is like Eastern Europe.
Very true. I had the heater on this morning, and this is the first day of summer. I mean, this is insane. And it's been cold for weeks. It's mad.
Yeah, my fingertips are freezing cold as we speak. I know, it's extraordinary. Can you believe this story about Greta Thunberg suing the Swedish government because they're not doing enough about climate change? It's like all the time when the suspicious thing they're doing, which is obviously the digital takeover of our world, our digital enslavement, is over to the left, they're like, oh my God, look at this horrific story over here on the right. It's just all these distraction techniques, and I am sick to death with a lot of them. They'd want to be careful that at some point people don't just, and I think it's already happening, where they don't just turn off the radio for all the mainstream stations, turn off the TV and refuse to watch or listen ever again. Because then how is this bunch of political liars going to communicate with people? I suppose it will pop up on our phones, will it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of pop-ups on phones these days. You've got to be careful because they're directing all sorts of information from the intelligence agencies through to your social media, and you've got to be very careful of what you watch and what you take in. And I take in everything and take most of it with a grain of salt and then try and make sense of it all. So I like to hear all sorts of different viewpoints and make sense of the world. But I did want to talk about a story that I thought was interesting on homeschooling, because the numbers of children being homeschooled are going through the roof, which I think is good news, because the state of the education system in Australia and many other countries is really appalling. And parents rightly see that, well, it makes much more sense to keep their kids at home and give them a proper education. And Queensland's Education Department released some homeschooling numbers in October, and they showed that homeschooling registrations rose 69% from 5,000. Yeah, it's a huge increase. 5,008 to 8,461 between 2021 and 2022, just 1 year. And I think I know why, because we've had so much indoctrination over COVID. And one reason, of course, is because, well, at one stage, certainly in other states, not so much Queensland, but we were locked down for months and months on end, and parents were pretty much forced to homeschool their kids, which that was one good thing, providing that the parents knew what they're talking about. Unfortunately, if they were just following the mainstream media, they'd be not much help for their kids.
Well, I think it's a few things, isn't it? Because I also pulled a teenage daughter out of school and began homeschooling, and I can guarantee you she's a hell of a lot smarter 12 months later than she was before. But I just wanted to tell you about something my 11-year-old son, he was 11 at the time, went through last year in primary school when they did actually go back. Because I think those 8,461 kids being homeschooled are very, very lucky to be doing so, because I think parental influence is way more important than what these teachers are saying. My son, when 11, they wrote on the whiteboard at school all of the children's names, and they had a little box next to them, and all of the children in front of each other, in front of their peers, were asked to go up to the whiteboard with the whiteboard marker and write one word next to their name, and the word had to be straight, gay, bi. So this was at the age of 11 in front of his classmates. So he went up, and obviously, you know, he's 11, so he doesn't really know what he is yet, I suppose. But he wrote straight because, you know, he likes girls. And the teacher put her hand on his shoulder in front of all the other kids and said, "I'm really disappointed in you."
That is terrible.
And he came home and he said,
"What sort of a teacher would say that?"
Yeah, he said, "Get me out of the school, Mum." So I think it's the woke agendas is what I'm saying, as well as all the mandates and stuff that could potentially come in. With my teenage daughter, it was definitely like the health concerns. But when you think about how they're coming at our children, it's from all angles, okay? So you've got the physical pressure. He was also being made to feel guilty because he's not vaccinated against COVID-19. He was constantly told he's putting everyone else at risk, even though the jab rate was about half and half in the classroom. And you know, in the mental side, because they're asking them to address issues that they're not old enough to address yet. So it's heartbreaking for me because there doesn't seem to be a teacher or a principal or a nurse, there is definitely some doctors, with enough balls to come out and speak out against this. And that's why radio stations like TNT are so important. And let's hope that there's just a flurry from all the mainstream media, because we can't listen to this anymore. It's wearing us down. And that's why mental health in young people in the UK is literally falling apart, as per government stats.
I think you've mentioned some very frightening things there, because we're in a situation now where kids going to school hearing this nonsense of what used to be called sex education in my day, which was somewhat useful. You know, you learnt just the basics, but now when they have this indoctrination along this idea that, you know, if you're straight, somehow you're, you know, a bit unusual. That's what that was implying when you said
exactly.
That before.
That's
quite shocking. now, I don't know the context of what happened there, but nonetheless, I mean, they shouldn't have that full stop. That's just not the place in schools. It's just horrible.
And it's not just the kids that get made to feel like there's something wrong with them. Because if you as a parent say anything, as I did to the school, it's like, oh my God, she's homophobic. Well, no, because one of my daughters is gay. I'm certainly not homophobic. But, you know, at the same time, if your child is uncomfortable doing that kind of thing, why on earth would you force him to do it?
Yeah, exactly. And there's so much wokeness in terms of history even. You know, we're taught that, you know, we have Invasion Day and all this talk of, you know, the Aboriginal people are the First Nations people and we've got to have some special representative for them. As far as I'm concerned, we're all human beings. And let's treat us with respect as a human being. Don't pigeonhole someone as black or white or whatever, which is exactly what this woke agenda is doing. It's not addressing the real issues which Aboriginal Australians are facing, which, you know, if you talk to them, you'll find out the real problems that this agenda is really further marginalising them. And that's the kind of nonsense these kids get taught at school, not to mention the climate change alarmism and all the pseudoscience. It's just horrific what they're learning about. You know, we're harming the planet, we're harming the Great Barrier Reef, we're harming this. We're, you know, unless you live a simple life in poverty, you know, that the world's going to suffer an environmental disaster. That's the kind of message that they're getting.
Yeah, it's very unfair. And, you know, I think generally there are lots of groups. Dan Andrews likes to talk about groups of people, doesn't he? Horrid othering people. There are lots of groups, including Indigenous peoples, who are being really marginalised here, and it's very unfair. Thank you so much, Jeremy. We really appreciate it. You're listening to The Mike Ryan Show on TNT Radio with Nicola Charles, the White Rabbit. We'll be back just after this short break.
Rock legend Christine McVie, singer and keyboardist for Fleetwood Mac, has died at the age of 79.
The band released a statement saying she was truly one of a kind, special and talented beyond measure. She was the best musician anyone could have in their band and the best friend anyone could have in their life. I want to be with
you everywhere. An absolute rock legend whose songs are among the best loved and biggest selling in music history.
Accomplishments include multiple Grammy Awards and an induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Individually and together, we cherish Christine deeply and are thankful for the amazing memories we have.
To you, I'll never be cold.
Did you know that hepatitis C causes tens of thousands of U.S. deaths every year? Hepatitis C is the leading cause of cirrhosis and liver cancer, and the leading cause of death from liver disease. Those who have hepatitis C often don't even know it. But there is good news. Not only good, but easy. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. If you do have it, it's curable. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. In fact, one little blood test and you can do your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested, get treated, get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
Of gas is so high.
How high is it?
It would be cheaper to buy cocaine and just run everywhere.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Come on, man.
TNT.
Come on, man. Oh my God, this guy is the best stand-up ever, isn't he? Welcome back to the Mike Ryan Show. My name's Nicola Charles, standing in for Mike. You might know me better as the White Rabbit. And I wanted to talk about, in this second hour, the real lack of debate that's going on about the COVID-19 pandemic and the management of it, and really the lack of investigation. You would have thought scientists would be super interested to do an investigation into these mRNA jabs now that we have the real data and science, not models, but actual data and science from people who've taken it, because the injuries they can cause, as we have now seen, are criminal. So still recommending it is a bit sketchy, in my opinion. So the question for me is, can we ever place our trust in public health again? I know that at this point in history, I probably won't. Now, Dr. Wendy Hoy is a specialist physician with degrees in both immunology and medicine and surgery from the University of Sydney. Wendy trained in the US in internal medicine. That's a very big thing to do. Hematology and nephrology, hope I said that right, blood and kidney specialities. She's a professor of medicine at one of our major Australian universities. And Wendy has a long history of research in high-risk populations, which has been recognised through the award of the Australian Order and her selection as a Fellow of the Australian Academy of Science. She is extremely well qualified and very welcome to the show. Hello, Dr. Hoy. It's lovely to meet you.
Well, thank you, Nicola, for that welcome, and I look forward to our chat.
So as an overview, Dr. Hoy, what do you feel about, because obviously this is your area of expertise, what do you feel, having looked at what we have been allowed to see, about these abnormalities in the blood of vaccinated people? Can you take us through what these various types of abnormalities are and what you've observed?
Yes, thank you. I will give a run through and then maybe you can ask some questions after that. I'd like to talk about findings in the blood that have been noticed in about the last 18 months in the blood of many people in widely vaccinated populations. The question has been brought up that these abnormalities that we think we're seeing are somehow derived from the delivery apparatus, perhaps of the lipid nanoparticles that deliver the messenger RNA into our systems. The abnormalities that are being noted include clumping of blood, red blood cells, sometimes very severe indeed, microscopic blood clots, and elevations of D-dimer products in the blood, which flag the body's attempt to break down clots. And there are also very impressive ribbons of translucent material, which are often associated with the red cell clumping, as well as substantial tube-like structures and apparent crystals and shard-like entities. These abnormalities are seen in the vaccines, as well as in the blood of recipients. In the USA, it's a federal crime to look at the vaccines themselves, but these phenomena have been confirmed in the vaccines in many countries and regions, including Australia and New Zealand. The ribbons and worms and shards have been seen in the unused vaccines before they are given to people. But the discrepancy between the very small volume of vaccine that's administered to each of us with our mRNA vaccine doses and the numbers of these structures in the blood in some people suggest that some of these phenomena, especially the ribbons and worms, must be self-assembling or self-amplifying from elements naturally the blood.
Yeah, that was my next question to you, Dr. Hoy, was about these self-assembling structures in the vaccines.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And they must be self-assembling from elements and compounds that are in the blood and tissues already.
Well, that's something I hadn't heard before. That's interesting.
In terms of the timing of these observations, at first these blood findings were mostly noted by naturopathy practitioners because they routinely examine the blood themselves under dark field microscopy in every patient that they see. Perhaps we've largely missed them in general practice and in internal medicine because we don't now, as practitioners, routinely look at the blood of our patients. We send it to the laboratory and most of the blood counts are largely automated. But when pathologists have been asked to look at these blood findings, they've confirmed them here and elsewhere. And there's reports in more than 30 regions and countries now confirming such findings. And several of these reports are already in peer-reviewed journals. And one series, which is enormous, includes more than 1,000 largely vaccinated people in Italy. And there's a huge review by a Dr. David Hughes at the University of Lincoln that I can provide links to. Thinking about...
So there's really only one conclusion, isn't there, Dr. Hoy? There's really only the conclusion that more harm than good is being done here. Would you agree with that?
Well, the harm that is probably and clearly related to these phenomena already, and we haven't really been allowed to look into it in detail, but includes a tendency to clotting disorders, which can progress to heart attacks and strokes, and the red cell clumping probably means contributes to fatigue and breathlessness because the lungs can't exchange oxygen and the tissues can't absorb oxygen from the red cells. And these contents in the blood are probably linked to the horrific large rubbery ropes and strings in major blood vessels that are now reported at autopsy by undertakers and pathologists alike in people who die unexpectedly.
And we'll take a really quick break because I really want to talk to you about the movie Died Suddenly and those ropes and strings in blood. Let's take a quick news break on TNT Radio and we'll be right back with Dr. Wendy Hoy.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're breaking news.
Oh, okay, carry on.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. US Republican lawmakers who recently won control of the lower house of US Congress are calling for the Biden administration to provide thorough oversight of the weapons it's sending to Ukraine. Germany has accused the Soviet Union of committing genocide in Ukraine in the 1930s, and Beijing has accused Washington of hyping up the supposed threat that China poses to the world in order to justify expanding its own nuclear arsenal.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the Mike Ryan Show on TNT Radio. I'm Nicola Charles, better known as the White Rabbit, and I'm filling in for Mike today. And I was talking to Dr. Wendy Hoy about these rubbery ropes and strings, which are just truly horrific. We're seeing in clips coming to us from undertakers and pathologists and embalmers that they're pulling out of those who unfortunately died post-vaccination, and they are claiming that they've never seen these structures before. I cut you off. I do apologize, Dr. Hoy. Can you tell me what you feel those ropes and strings and structures are?
Well, we're whistling in the dark, aren't we? But certainly these things have never been seen in such numbers or severities in autopsies previously. They are strings and ropes of variable sizes that are being pulled out of large blood vessels and some of the smaller blood vessels as well. And they, while they have a little bit of red cells and clot material around them, their essential essence is not the usual components of blood clots. It seems to be a more rubbery sort of a rubber band sort of a material, like a plastic polymer or something. Of course, we will not know what these are until they're thoroughly investigated and treated with people who are and examined by people who are experts in clotting, in polymer chemistry, and so forth. And of course, nothing will happen in Australia or New Zealand until we're allowed to talk about these things openly and perform systematic autopsies within. Of this phenomenon, amongst other things, in everybody who dies suddenly.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, I'm going to suggest a very dark hypothesis here, because I've also been thinking about this. Is it possible, because we now know that there have been lots of untoward substances added to our drinking water, added to the breakfast cereal that our children eat, various foods, you know, you've got fish that has mercury in it. Do you think that over a period of time, in your knowledge of science and medicine, do you think over a period of 2, 3, 4 decades, if they were able to get those kinds of substances inside our body, and that they would sit there over a long period of time and not really do anything until they were introduced to this COVID-19 vaccine, do you think the plan could have been that long and that dark?
Oh, look, I have to stay away from all the hypotheses while not rejecting any of them. Whether they've been sitting there and just haven't been noticed, I can't comment, but our naturopathic collaborators and friends say they have never seen anything like this to the extent or magnitude or horrific degree in their patients, well or ill, who have come to them for consultations until the last couple of years. So it being strikingly noticeable does appear to be new. I do know that there are hypotheses about whether we've been exposed incrementally to various things over several decades. But, you know, our authorities must be aware of these findings. They must know about it. They must be told from review of the literature, and they must be either investigating what's happening here in Australia or planning what they need to do in terms of managing the media and the information that flows to us, but more important, in terms of beginning to allow open conversations about these matters, and then designing studies to work out who has these, how long do they last in the blood, what are the mechanisms for clearing them and stopping vaccines until such time as we have the answers in hand.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question. Do you think it's possible to survive with these structures inside? And surely there's something people can take to break this stuff down if they have some kind of test, like a D-dimer test, and it's found to be beginning the process. I mean, surely there is, you know, some kind of blood thinner. I'm not an expert, but to help these people survive.
Well, if you did the D-dimer screening and blood screening on everybody who'd been vaccinated, you would identify a population who appeared to be at risk, at least for the early manifestations. And there are a list of more than 40 or 100 compounds of all sorts, including a lot of naturopathic medicines and so forth, that are thought through one mechanism or another to reduce the manifestations and the growths and the clotting phenomena that accompany these phenomena. So as soon as we talk about it, we can introduce, there can be introduction of trials to try to help mitigate, decrease the progression of these phenomena and their progression till they are causing death in people, sudden death. Until we can, and our health authorities need to be designing those studies in collaboration with the people who are noticing these phenomena.
Have you been disappointed by the lack of interest in discussing what's really going on within your peer group? Has that disappointed you? Are you surprised by it?
I'm astounded. I mean, this is really the major issue of our time. And the censorship and repression in the media and in scientific and in academic circles has been profound. I would not believe it if I wasn't living through it. It'd be incompatible with the sort of medicine and healthcare we thought we were delivering.
Yeah, I think as well, I've got friends who are doctors, GPs, and luckily they've been able to speak out on these findings and the health of people after they've been vaccinated, because they were sort of on the verge of retiring. So unlike the younger doctors who had, I guess, an entire career to lose, these doctors were able to speak out and say, well, look, obviously I'm going to lose everything I've ever worked for, so I will just retire at this point and be able to tell the truth. I still don't understand how the majority of the younger doctors are just happy to take their payments to keep administering this stuff when they clearly can see the damage that it's doing.
Nicola, I don't think they're necessarily happy. I think many of them are very depressed and wretched and stressed and conflicted about what right. they are having to do. There's great misery and chaos in the ranks, including of people who are not exposing them to the risks of deregistration at this particular point in time. And there's a huge yeah. misery that's accumulated because of the compliance or not with the vaccine mandates as well.
Yeah, well, let's hope that we can bring some truth to this debate, to these findings, and that we can potentially save some doctors and what they're going through as well as their patients. Because as my GP said to me, she said, well, do you think I'm happy about it? I've had to take it. You know, I'm as stressed as the next person. But she did actually pull us aside, my husband and I, and say, please don't administer this to your children. Listen, thank you, Dr. Wendy Hoy. I really appreciate you speaking with us today. And we're going to take a quick break here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
For decades, we've been told that being gay is not a choice, but rather one is born that way. This even though no gene has ever been found for that trait. And now comes word that if you weren't born a lesbian, but you'd like to be a lesbian, there's hope for you. The Daily Mail reports that women are speaking out about a possible side effect of taking oral contraceptives. They say taking the pill eventually turned them gay. Apparently, women have anonymously shared their experiences on Reddit, claiming that starting or stopping birth control woke up a part of their sexuality that had been asleep for years. This has led to scientific study into the claims. Researchers from the University of Stirling in the UK looked at whether women might choose different, more or less masculine-looking partners when they're on the pill than they would if they were not on the pill. And guess what? They found that women on the pill preferred images of males with less masculine features, and they were also more likely to choose such men as partners. So, if you've ever thought about being a lesbian but couldn't quite get there, congrats. There's hope for you. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Researcher Elizabeth Woodworth finds the mainstream media often confuses misinformation, which is unintentional, with disinformation, which is deliberate. Dictionary.com states that compared to misinformation, disinformation is a relatively new word, first recorded in 1965 to 1970. It's a translation of the Russian word desinformatia, in turn based on the French désinformer. In English, the prefix dis can be used to indicate a reversal or negative instance of the word that follows. Disinformation, then, can be understood as reverse information or anti-information, specifically created to deceive and misguide other people. The Oxford English Dictionary describes disinformation as the dissemination of deliberately false information, especially when supplied by a government or its agent to a foreign power or to the media with the intention of influencing the policies or opinions of those who receive it. Given these definitions, it is curious that partners of the Trusted News Initiative have identified a scattered online public as the source of intentional disinformation.
And now, political observations from the late Stephen Hawking.
We boldly go where no man has gone before.
What do a pecan, a walnut, and Nancy Pelosi have in common? They are two nuts and a maniac.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I really can't come back from every ad break laughing. Will you stop it, TNT Radio? That Nancy Pelosi joke was very good. My name is Nicola Charles. I'm filling in for Mike Ryan. You may know me as the White Rabbit on Spotify and on my Twitter account while I've still got it. And actually, I shared a clip on my Twitter account a couple of days ago. It might be why Elon's a bit grumpy with me and gave me a 12-hour ban yesterday. But despite spending most of the last 30 years living in Australia, there was a man who had not been on my radar before, who I just discovered a day or two ago, and his name is George Christensen. Now, George was a former member for Dawson in the Parliament of Australia. George is a Christian, a freedom lover, a conservative, a blogger, a podcaster, and a theologian. George's latest video is called My Biggest Regret. That title alone would make me want to have a look at that. And he's talking about the ALP, Scott Morrison, and the House of Representatives today. So we are really lucky here on TNT. We've got George Christensen to chat to. Hi, George. How are you?
Well, very good. Thank you very much. And thanks for that wonderful introduction.
I'm suddenly and inexplicably a big fan of yours, and I even did a naughty thing. I took your video and I played around with my little editing suite and I stripped it in with a scene from Aliens just for shock value. but I thought it was pretty great. How did you feel? You know, did you realize you would have to be really brave to sort of sit there with a microphone in front of you and tell the truth of what you'd seen in a lab?
Yeah, look, I it's something that had been playing on my mind for a long time. And look, some of your listeners may not have seen this video. So to put it into perspective, what I outlined in this YouTube video, as you've said, called My Biggest Regret, was the fact that I was taken by these people that were in the health sector into a private laboratory, I could call it that, a private lab, private clinic, I guess, where there was a dark field microscope, and they actually had secured a vial of Pfizer, and they right in front of me. So I saw the whole chain of custody here. Like, it wasn't like there was a sequence in this event that I'm telling you that that I didn't witness with my own eyes. Thus, I believe it. So they got the vial of Pfizer, which they'd gotten from a GP. I could see clearly it was what it was purporting to be. They injected it out with a syringe. They put that on a little microscope slide and put it under the dark field microscope. Now, I had no idea what I was really going to see, but what I saw did shock me. It was quite clear there was something in this that really shouldn't be in it. There was geometric structures. They seem to be organic. I don't know if that's the right word, but they certainly were over time transforming, like they were joining with other parts of this stuff. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. So my biggest regret was the fact that I you know, I was spooked by it, and I was also spooked by what a few other people said to me after I saw this, and I didn't say anything, and I should have said something much sooner than now, I guess. So that was my biggest regret in all my time in politics, that I didn't do that. But you know, not wanting to justify it, the reality was, you know, the official stats were saying that 96% of Australians were already jabbed. So, you know, it wasn't like me going out and screaming this from the rooftops could have or would have stopped anyone, because sadly, according to the official figures, the vast bulk of the population had already gone out and gotten this concoction or one of those concoctions by the time that I witnessed what I witnessed.
Well, I don't believe those official figures. Just from my own sort of market research with my own cohorts and groups that I know. But it's one of those situations, and I do have to commend you. You are brave for doing that, and I'm sure you feel a bit guilty because you didn't come out sooner, and I understand that as well. But it was a very confusing time for everyone. But it's that thing, isn't it, where, and this started around the 2020 election in America, it's this thing of don't believe your lying eyes. So you stood there looking at it. And one of the things that struck me in your video was you were saying it seems to be giving off energy, because I realize it's under sort of, you know, a big microscope, but you could see this sort of life, this glowing, and it's busy. It's getting busy inside people. And, you know, all I kept thinking about was that quite eerie, quite creepy clip that has just haunted me for the last couple of years of Bill and Melinda Gates at the beginning of the pandemic, where she said chillingly, we don't have the technology to put chips inside people. And Bill Gates just kind of threw her a look like, ouch, that's not going to age well.
Well, I don't know whether it's chips in people. I don't know what it is. Some people have said, you know, have speculated what it could be. I can't.
Well, it's not human, is it, George? Right?
No. Well, whatever it is, again, showing it to a GP friend of mine who actually didn't believe it when I showed it to him. He didn't believe what he was saying. He didn't believe that it came out of a Pfizer vial. And no matter how much I could convince him, he said, "I'll, you know, the only way that he would believe it is if he." Got a vial of it himself and went and did the exercise. And I said, look, don't bother yourself because, you know, what difference is it going to make apart from you being aware of it? But what difference it could make, you know, if you suddenly become aware of it and then start doing something about it, you could have all your credentials stripped. So just don't do it. Look, just to get back to this, I showed it to him and he was of the view that whatever it was should not be in a vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes, look, we now have this, and it's not just from your little exercise. It's global. We now have this footage, this information. I know Laquita Columna in Spain have been, you know, hammering this out. And obviously there's a language barrier. So people have to watch videos with tiny little subtitles and they're like, oh, I can't be bothered. So people just put little clips of it on social media. But surely, I mean, surely they've made financially the money they want to make from this. Surely at this point, particularly governments have a responsibility. Where's the responsibility, George? You know, you were in the Parliament of Australia. Where's the responsibility towards citizens to now at least acknowledge these findings?
Well, it doesn't seem to be any responsibility. In fact, most of this seems to be being covered up by the mainstream media, by others. I noted, you know, I thought, well, when I put that out there, what reaction is that going to get? And I actually saw a comment from someone saying, you know, he's not a doctor, he doesn't have any clue what it is, so who cares? Well, you know, looking at that thing that I saw in the Pfizer vial, wouldn't you think that even if you're not a doctor, it begs the question, what the hell is that, given that we're injecting it into so many people and given that I shouldn't even say the word near, but I will for these purposes, we near forcibly injected it into the whole Australian population. And when I mean forcibly and near forcibly, I mean the vaccine mandates, which are now, thank goodness, coming undone, both practically and legally, but those mandates forced many who didn't want to get this to get it.
Yeah, but if anything, for me, this COVID-19 vaccine rollout has been the litmus test for mRNA, and they know that. And my concern is that children, mine included, are now being told by their GPs that part of their childhood vaccine schedule includes things like chickenpox and RSV and What's the other one? Flu. And these shots have now been converted to mRNA. So the older vaccines that we were all happy with, that we all had, are probably not going to be there anymore.
Well, look, if that is, if that ends up becoming the reality, then it will be to the detriment of the health industry, I guess, because there'll be many people, myself included, that will just not ever go and get a vaccine again. I mean, it is quite clear now that whatever the hell is in these vaccines, there is some editing, literally editing, that is done to our genetics. I mean, there are now serious doctors with serious credentials that are coming out and saying that it affects your DNA, you know, and we were told that it doesn't do that. But we've got professors from MIT that are out there now saying it. We've got studies that have shown in laboratory conditions that it has influenced DNA and affected DNA. So this is something that really, it should never have even happened during COVID.
No.
I remember at the start of this so-called pandemic where they were talking about mRNA, and it was that new, the sort of technology that they were looking at, that new and unexplored and untested safety-wise, that they were describing it as this. Imagine that there's a factory that's making cars, and you throw a manual down the chimney of the factory that is the instructions on how to make an airplane. And the hope is, with the mRNA, that, you know, injecting it into your body will trigger the body to build this new product. Well, what are the chances, if there was a factory and you threw a book down a chimney on how to build planes, that they'd suddenly stop making cars and go and build planes? You know, the chances of it are, if I said a million in one or a million to one, I'd be well and truly overstating it or understating it, as the case may be. They have done something here that should never have been done. Deliberately or not deliberately, it has caused havoc. It has caused death. It has caused some serious consequences for people. And there are now not just, you know, the people with the tinfoil hat like me strapped on that are out there saying it. The serious cardiologists. There's a top cardiologist from Sydney who's, you know, very well known throughout Australia. He's got his own radio show, and he's out there saying now that mRNA vaccine should so they shouldn't have happened.
My concern is that over the years, George, we've been very supportive. I know I was very supportive of donating money to research into this kind of thing. Not this specifically. I certainly didn't want anyone to change their DNA or their genome. But we were told that we could look at this sort of thing, and what it would do is, if that, you know, children could potentially avoid having genetic diseases. That's how they sold it to us, that this could fix that. And I think they used that as a big lie, so that in essence and painfully, our taxes have probably funded research in all this. Would you agree?
Without a doubt. I mean, there's been some really, really crazy research that's gone on. And, you know, you talk about the origins of COVID itself. I mean, go and have a look at Fauci and Eco Health Alliance and the Gates Foundation and the connections there with really, really unscrupulous, unethical gain of function research, which really was about weaponizing coronaviruses. And there is no doubt in my mind and in the mind of many people that have seen the facts here that, you know, yes, it was grown in the lab in Wuhan, but it was done completely and utterly with the support, funding, finance and blessings of the medical scientific research establishment. I guess we should be calling it the medico-industrial complex in the United States. You know, and I've just actually published something today in my newsletter talking about doctors that are growing brains. I mean, this stuff is out of some bizarre sort of Hammer horror film. Doctors that have grown brain cells and actually got a brain that they've grown to play the game Pong. I mean,
it's Frankenstein,
what the hell,
George.
Is going on?
It's Frankenstein.
It's scientism. It's scientism, yeah. Which is science without ethics. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like a religion.
Absolutely.
We can do it, so we should do it.
Yeah, and I certainly don't agree with that. I'm not on that page. But I always think it's important to look at what's next. And I love Melbourne and I love Victoria and I love Australia. And I have great concerns about this deal that's been done to build this mRNA factory near Tullamarine Airport here in Melbourne. Yeah. I mean, surely this kind of thing has a runoff. Surely this kind of thing ends up in the water table. Do you have any concerns about that factory?
Look, I don't know about the sort of the environmental aspect that you're talking about, but what I do know is that it is, you know, that the mRNA vaccines are still without long-term safety data. So why the hell are we building new factories? Mm. And if you go and have a look, Australia is not the only one. They're doing it in Canada. They're doing it in the UK. They're popping up everywhere. But hang on a sec. The only reason that mRNA vaccines were let onto the market is because there was this pandemic with this boogeyman virus that was out to get us all and hunt us down and kill us. You know, so we sort of threw safety to the wind and we just proceeded with these untested mRNA vaccines to get something done, yeah. Right? At a surface level, you can understand that, as dumb as it is, but, you know, you can understand it. But now we're talking about developing factories for vaccines,
yeah,
now,
exactly.
That we don't need.
But listen,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, George, that lovely music means we're out of time. I've really enjoyed speaking to you. I'd love you to come onto my podcast as well at some point. Listen, thank you so much for coming onto the Mike Ryan Show. I'm Nicola Charles, the White Rabbit, standing in for Mike Ryan. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I look forward to speaking to more guests with you tomorrow, hopefully. Have a lovely evening.